Oh, Father, we come in the wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus. I want to say thank you again for the privilege, Lord God, to stand in your presence. Lord, together in this new year, this first Sunday of his year 2015, we take nothing for granted. For we know it's not because we have run or will to run. It's not by our might or by power, but by your Spirit, because of your mercies. And so for your mercies upon us that has enabled us to gather again today, we come to say thank you. As we come under the covering of the fathers of the house. Father, we come to say thank you. As we come to, Lord, share and deliver your word again today, we come acutely aware, Lord God, of our human limitations, the limitations of the human mind, the human intellect, Lord God, both to receive as well as to deliver this matchless word, the divine word of the living God. And so, Father, I come under the authority of my fathers, and I humble myself afresh, asking, Lord God, for fresh release of your mercy upon me, upon my tongue. You make my tongue as a pen of a ready writer to write your will, your word upon the hearts of your people. And you'll also grant mercy to all of us who hear this word, whether here physically or by electronic means or remotely thereafter. Lord God, the same grace by your mercy, causing that word, their hearts prepared to receive this word with gladness, and give them grace to be doers of that which they hear in the name of Jesus. As I speak, let your power and your presence go to fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, O Lord, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even more by the precious fruit of the Spirit, which is love, in the name of Jesus. I ask that wherever this word goes, in all the earth, your power follow it, Lord, causing men not to be hearers only, but to be doers of that which they hear, and be blessed in all that they do, in the name of Jesus. I also ask that as I speak, you'll help me to be concise, precise, not saying anything unnecessary, bringing forth from out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. And finally, Lord, I ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of this word, as I begin to preach and deliver this word. I duck under the anointing of my fathers in the house, and ask for mercy to be a faithful steward that I speak. Let your power and presence go forth. Let the water, the river of life, go forth to bring refreshing to all of us that hear it, but especially to them. So as they hear this word and they drink from this vine and eat from this vine, they will be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because you are faithful to do more than you can ever ask or can ever think. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Indeed, it's a great privilege, I've said once again, to be here again today to bring the word, to share the word. Again, it's a privilege always to stand at this particular pulpit, this pulpit that God has used to bring so much blessing to through the preaching of the word to millions all over the world, really, because we don't know how many people are listening to us on the internet. And where this word has gone forth, the word has been gone forth for these 30 years now. So we are truly privileged, and I want to acknowledge and thank the Lord for this opportunity, and acknowledge those to whom honor is due, and give them honor. My father in the house, Pastor Lee Johnson, of course, he's not here right now, and also my mother in the Lord, our mother in the Lord, Mommy Sarah, they're not here now physically, but I know they'll be watching us by the technology of light. Amen. So I'd like to acknowledge and thank them for this honor and this great privilege that we have to bring the word again today. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to now be, of course, we all know we're in the book of Acts, as we've been studying the book of Acts for some time now, and we'll continue to study. The book of Acts is getting to be more and more important as the days goes on, because we're now entering some time of mighty works, mighty deeds, miracles, Lord, first in us, and then for us, and through us. So in our last study, we were in Acts chapter 3, we stopped at the miraculous healing of the man that was at Gate Beautiful by Peter and John, well, by the Holy Spirit, through Peter and John, amen. And we saw in verse 16 there, the Bible says that his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. May the faith of the Lord make you strong in Jesus' name. Who ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness. May the Lord grant you perfect soundness in the name of Jesus, in the presence of you all. And we said that, we spent some time, we said that we see that Peter affirmed by the Spirit through the Spirit, that three things gave this beggar at the beautiful gate the miracle of perfect sight. It was his name, three things. One, the name of the Lord. The number two, the faith in the name. So there's the name of the Lord, the faith. But not just any kind of faith. There's a particular kind of faith, which is the faith that comes through and is of and by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read this verse 16, give me this in this Amplified. Give me this in Amplified. Let's see what it says. It says, and his name, through and by faith in his name, that's the name there, then the faith, has made this man who you see and recognize well and strong. Yes, now this is what, the faith which is through and by Jesus has given the man this perfect soundness of body before you. So it's a faith which is through and by Jesus. So not just any ordinary kind of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the faith that we have. Amen. He said, but the faith which is through and by Jesus. So the name of the Lord is not the issue. The name of the Lord is backed up always by the power of God. It's not, there's nothing wrong with the name. The Lord Jesus says, when you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a promise of God that cannot return void. The power of God is always present concerning the use of the name. Amen. Many times we don't see miracles, not because there's anything wrong with the name, God forbid, but because we who ask have problems. Either the motivation is wrong, or the means is wrong, or the method of asking is wrong. Amen. Or in some cases, all the above. Amen. Both the means, the method, and the motivation. This is what Jesus said. If you ask anything, blanket check, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. So it's not the name. Amen. And we said that in our last study, that the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus, is not a talisman. Amen. Tell your neighbor, the name is not a talisman. It's not a joker you can just pull out anyhow. Hello, somebody. Man, you can't use the name of Jesus for just any kind of prayer. We gave the example of sons of Sceva who are trying to use... the devil knows who has access to the name. He's not going to allow that. You won't even get the result if you don't use it correctly. Amen? We see all these prayerless prayers. And, you will not have a problem in your life again. How can you say that when the Bible says in the world you will have tribulation? That's a prayerless prayer. The name of Jesus will not obtain on that. But you hear people, hundreds of multitudes saying, in Jesus' name, they say, amen. And yet nothing is going on. Talisman. It's not a talisman. Amen? We get an example of seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a type of a Christian. Amen? And there are many Christians like sons of Sceva in the church today. They don't have a relationship with the Christ. They don't understand what the name of Christ is all about. And yet they use the name to try and get things, results that are outside the ambit of the Word of God. And guess what? The frightening thing is sometimes they do actually get results. Amen? So if they get the results and they don't use the name properly, they don't have a relationship with God as they ought to. Their heart's motivation is wrong. The method is wrong. The means is wrong. And they get the result. Who then give them the result? Big question. See, people, they don't do anything, just get results. Results. Just use the name. We pray the name of Jesus. In Jesus, and they get results. That is not God. That is Satan, spirit of Babylon. Anyway, so it's not the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that works miracles. It's not just the name of Jesus that works miracles and mighty deeds. By faith, not just any kind of faith, he said here, the faith of Jesus Christ himself, or, like we said in our last study, the God kind of faith. And we use the example of the account of the Lord Jesus Christ when he cursed the tree on the way to the temple, and 24 hours later, that tree had withered from the roots up, completely. And the disciples were amazed. They said, Lord, this is not the tree you cursed and you spoke to. How come it's... now, wisened up, it's dried up from the roots. And the Lord said, have faith in God. And the translation of that is, have the faith of God. We see that in Mark chapter 11, in verse 22. So we saw that there's a God kind of faith which brings miracles, which brings great and mighty deeds. And that was a God kind of faith that Lord Jesus Christ was exercising, which by proxy now, Peter and John were exercising through the Spirit, the anointing upon the Lord Jesus Christ that healed this man at the gate. Beautiful. And we then looked at that passage, the Mark chapter 11. We're all more familiar with it. And we brought out by the Spirit from the consecutive verses from verse 23 all the way down to verse 26. We looked at it by the Spirit. And we brought out that the elements which make up the exercise of the God kind of faith are one, forgiveness. And by extrapolation, that means you also confess your sins, because Jesus said that except you forgive, I will not forgive you when you confess your sins. Amen? That's what the word says. So to receive forgiveness, you must first of all have confessed your own sins with an attitude of forgiveness towards others. So there's forgiveness, and by extrapolation, and the underlying confession of sins to receive right standing with God. Then we talk about asking, which is petition. And then pray. It says, whatsoever you desire or whatsoever you ask. Amen. When you pray, believe. Amen. Then there's believing, or an attitude of faith, correct attitude of faith. Amen. And then there's confession. When you pray and you believe, you now speak what you've talked about into manifestation. Amen. Most people just go to that part, that number four. Just speak the word only. It's not like that. It has never been and will never be like that. You can only, hallelujah, you can only speak the word only when you have done all these background things, the confession, the prayer, the believing, the asking, the petition. Very familiar things we've been taught here about the grace of God. Amen? Seven pillars of wisdom. And then at the end, you now declare that these things that I've prayed about by the Spirit are coming to manifestation. And because you exercise your faith in this regard, then you have the result. Amen? And we also say the Lord Jesus was diligent daily in exercise himself in this faith of God. Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, and was heard in that he feared. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen? So we made the point that the faith of Jesus Christ, the God kind of faith, is what gives a release of power to the working of miracles. Not just believing. I mean, you don't believe. So many people believe, but they don't see. Amen? Because there's no power behind it. Or there's very little power behind it. Amen? Or the heart is wrong. So many things have taken place before these mighty deeds come into manifestation. Amen? We'll talk to you more about that later, about the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just believing or speaking the word. It involves a release of spiritual power through prayer and the exercise of faith. Amen? Even miracles, the instantaneous miracles we see, are backed by the release of power. God sometimes moves sovereignly and he does a miracle, suspending physical laws to make things happen in the earth. But guess what? Somebody has to pray that miracle through somewhere along the line. Amen? And because of God is of eternity to eternity, many of the miracles that maybe God even did when he was in the Old Testament, some of us are praying by the Spirit now. Amen? When you pray, you're just praying. The Bible says you don't know what to pray as you ought to. So as you pray in the Spirit, God is using a portion of the prayers that we all pray to fulfill the word of God concerning the things that he has done sovereignly. So that power is being generated and released. Amen? Why does he do this? We said because he gave me the earth and the sons of men. Anything that is done on earth must be done through the sons of men. Hello, somebody. Can you now see why you need to come and pray on Tuesday? Amen? Hello, somebody. When we talk about prayer, the house is silent. Prayer is the lifeblood of Christianity. Amen. That's what it's all about. Prayer is communication with God. And through that prayer, God exercises sovereignty in the earth. Hello, the reason why many times God doesn't do all that we want or want to see, because he's limited by the power he can use. The Bible says that even in the desert, the Bible says, the children of Israel limited the Holy One. How can you limit the Holy One of Israel? A whole God. By not praying as you ought to. Hello, somebody. But we also concluded the study by saying there's a more excellent way to exercise the faith of God. That excellent way is to develop the love of God, the character of Christ, by the blood, the word, and the Spirit. So our ordinary faith will now be like special faith, the faith for miracles. Amen? Which the Lord Jesus Christ walked in when he was on the face of the earth. The Lord Jesus didn't. His faith was like special faith. He will just use his faith and he'll get miracles done. Every miracle he did, practically every one, was done because of compassion, of divine love. The feeding of the 5,000, the raising of the widow's son, the widow of Nain. Amen. Even, you know, when he was walking on water, he was walking on water to be able to get to his disciples. Amen. Turning water into wine. All these were acts of love out of compassion, which he did, which he had towards the people. Amen? And if we too develop the kind of love of God, if we develop that fruit of love and perfect it, we too, as we walk in more and more of this fruit of love, our own faith will be like God's kind of faith. And we're going to do miracles in Jesus' name. Amen? And that's where we are now, by the grace of God. The time of great and mighty deeds. Amen, somebody. You don't sound like you believe that. Are you all cold this morning? Everybody cold? Everybody looking at me funny? Are you going to say yes? A resounding yes from the children. Don't worry, you warm up. Amen? All right, just, you know what, if you get cold, what you need to do is you to understand that you need to be active, amen. Participate more in responding to the word, amen. The word of God is living and powerful. It will take away every cold in Jesus' name. Some of us believe. Okay, all right. That's not a prayer. Let's pray, by the way. Amen. It's not a prayer. I know somebody's watching. I said, that's a prayer. Let's pray. No, it's not a prayer. Let's pray. Amen. There's an amen that goes to that. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen, somebody? All right. So we're going to start today from Acts chapter 3, verse 17. And we'll try and reach verse 20. Thereabouts. God will have mercy upon us. Amen. Let's read. We read together, please. And now, brethren, I watch. What there is holding this means I know. I what? He's talking about, let me just give a quick background. He's talking about these people who have denied the Holy One, talked about in verse 14 and 15, and have killed the Prince of Life. And I say in verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing, notice this, times of refreshing, shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Let's pause there for a minute, see how far God will help us through. Here we see Apostle Paul returning to the issue of the guilt of the Jews in killing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He preached it in Acts chapter 2. He said, you know, that you're guilty of killing the Christ. Gave a, you know, discourse. Again, it comes up. Why is God doing this? He's not doing it because he wants to continue to beat them over the head. God is not like that. God, that's not God's plan to pattern at all. He's not going to be beating them over the head. There's a reason why God keeps on going back to this. Or rather, Peter, by the Spirit, keeps going back to this issue. And it is to get the people of Jerusalem in particular, and especially their leaders, amen, to come to an understanding of the enormity of what they had done and get them to repent. The whole object is repentance. Hello, somebody. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and come to a knowledge of the truth of what they have done. Amen? All these people. So, Peter was trying to get them to understand what they had done and so then cause them to repent. And this is God's way. Amen? This is the way of divine love. This is the way God deals with all of us. Amen? Not just these ones. God always, tell your neighbor, God always gives space to repent. Always. Amen? We have the example of the church of Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. Verse 20. Let's go there. I want to see something there. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. This is how God was. Said, now he's talking about this church whom he was writing to through John. And it says, notwithstanding, let's read it again. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, or thou allowest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Notice the appointment, the anointing was not given by God, was given by herself. And that's by the way. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, if it was you and I would get rid of this woman immediately. Something will happen and she will no longer be there. But look what God says. Look, this is God. Isn't God marvelous? This is a woman who was corrupting the people in the church, the servants of God, a false prophetess. The people could not discern, but God knew, and God didn't do anything. But why? And I what? Gave her space to repent of her fornication. Now, check this out. This is amazing. And she repented not. Now, if it was you and I, when I saw there's no repentance, something will happen. That something will be arranged to remove that obstacle in the church. But God didn't do so. He says, look at the next verse. This is where I'm going now. He says, now, God is telling, this is what I'm going to do. I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. It's like God is saying, repent, oh, no repentance. Repent, oh, no repentance. I would have thought that when God saw there was no repentance, he would have cut off. But he says, Gabriel, another warning. That's exactly what he did through Peter and John. Or through Peter in summer. He brought another warning because he did not see the kind of repentance that he wanted to see. So he sends them again to preach to the people. And guess what? Another 5,000 people repented that day. Amen? We'll see that later as we go on. But the essence is that God always gives space to repent. Give me Psalms 145 verse 8. Quickly, please. God is not interested in, you know, destroying. He says, he's not willing that any should perish. Look, give me that Psalms. Psalms 145 verse 8. Listen, this is the Lord who we deal with. Thank God for this. Says the Lord. Come on, guys. The Lord is what? Gracious. Full of compassion. Now check this out. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Give the Lord a clap of it, somebody. This is how God deals with us. The Bible says he knows our frame, that we are but dust. Even all our transgressions, all of things, God is still gracious. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger, and he has great mercy towards us. Otherwise, without his mercy, all of us will be consumed in an instant. Thank God for his great mercy. Amen? So Peter says, now, so we see God give you space, and he doesn't save every one of his people. He'll always give you space to repent, space. Never, ever take the goodness of the Lord as a license to continue to commit sin. The fact that something happens, you commit a sin or something, you know, the Bible says you have the witness of the Spirit. And if you will not do it in Jesus' name. But don't continue in sin. The Bible says be quick to repent. Turn around, because he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, with great mercy. But there comes a time, the Bible says, when God will no more strive with the sons of men. And then, God forbid, the judgment must come. Because he's also a God of loving kindness. Fellow shows you loving kindness and demands justice from you. But if there's no justice, then he brings judgment. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Say, I'll be quick to repent. I will not take the grace of God in vain in Jesus' name. I will not take the mercy of God for granted. Okay, let's go back there. Verse 17, we understand now. Verse 17, Acts chapter 3, verse 17 says, I know you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. And this is what he was saying. What he was saying was echoing what the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross when he was crucified. He said, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they know not what they do. Amen. Many times God understands that there's a lack of understanding. So he says, these people, they did it in ignorance. Even the rulers were ignorant. But I believe that the rulers, the Jews and rulers, because of the ignorance, much of the leadership's ignorance was a willful ignorance. Amen? That's why the Bible says, be ye not many teachers, for you have the greater condemnation. These were rulers. These were people who ought to have known. In fact, they did know. They should have known who the Lord Jesus was. They saw the miracles. They saw the things that Jesus was that they could not do. They are so-called leaders. Amen? Amen? But they refused to acknowledge the Lord Jesus because of what they stood to lose. So they now use the circumstantial evidence of his appearing to be born in Nazareth. Say, how the Nazareth come? God, no good thing. And Luke said, check the scriptures. For no prophet arises out of Nazareth. But he should have gone to find out the reality of the truth of the scripture, which puts his birth squarely in Bethlehem. Amen? But they didn't want to find out. In spite of the evidence. It's not all the leaders that were bad. For instance, there was someone like Nicodemus who showed everybody else up. He says, does our Lord condemn anybody before he hears him? Let's call this man and ask him what exactly happened. How come he's a prophet that comes out of Nazareth when there's no prophet that should arise out of Nazareth in the world? Amen? But they wanted to keep their nation. They wanted to keep their position. They wanted to keep the people under bondage and subject to them. They didn't want to find out in spite of the overwhelming evidence of the miracles. Amen? What's the lesson? And the Lord gave me a phrase that I want you all to imbibe. When you ignore the evidence of Scripture, you are becoming willfully ignorant. Ignorance is not knowing. You get that? Ignorance is not knowing. Ignorance is ignoring the evidence of Scripture. And there are so many people like that in the world. I can name some of you, but I won't bring out names. Because they have learning in the natural, they put aside the Scriptures and the things of God. And they assume that because they have degrees, professorships, and all kinds of accolades from men, that they are truly learned. Apologies to all our learned brethren here. Forgive us. Amen. And they have any learned brethren in this place. We're not talking about you. We're talking about people who revel in the things of God. I mean, the things of the natural. The accolades of men. The degrees. The pomp and the pageantry of being learned in the natural. And then to that, they completely ignore the things of the Spirit. The Word of God. The preaching of the Word. And what the Word of God says. You are ignorant. Nobody said amen. Thank you. You didn't say amen because that means you are not ignorant in Jesus' name. Say amen now. I said you said you didn't say amen because you are not ignorant. You understand what I'm saying? You understand the scriptures. You believe the scriptures. Therefore, you are not ignorant. Amen? But if a person who is ignorant or who ignores the scripture, the evidence of scripture, becomes ignorant, and guess what? Because they are ignorant of the spiritual things and cleave only to the natural, most of the people ended up fulfilling the bad portion of scripture. That's what happened to the elders. They chose to be ignorant. They chose not to take the evidence for what they saw. They should not have been ignorant because Jesus did so many miracles. And also, they had the word, incidentally. Look what it says in verse 18. Give me Acts 3:18. Look what it says. Look what it says. It says, those things which God before had done, showed by the mouth of all his prophets. These were leaders who they were hearing the word of the Lord every single day. They were They were custodians of the word of God. They knew the scriptures concerning the Messiah. They heard it read every day. They read it themselves every day. But when the manifestation came, they chose to be willfully ignorant. Hello, somebody. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Then I want to link this word prophets. Take that prophets. Now go to Acts chapter 13. Help me Lord. Verse 27. I want to link it to what Paul Jean, he specifically used that word prophet to indict the people of Israel. Look what he says. This is Apostle Paul now. Thank God for Paul. Look what he says. He says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. Now check this out. Nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. They heard this word. They heard everything. So it's read every Sabbath day, just like we hear today. We're reading the Word of God. We're making, you know, proclamations by the Spirit. We're speaking the Word of God, speaking to one another under unction. You can be in this place and hear everything that is said and still be ignorant. That will not be your portion. We're preaching this as a warning. Look what it says. The voices of the prophets which are read every day. In other words, the prophets were speaking from the Scriptures. Amen. And they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Why? Because they did not take heed to the prophets. They knew him not. They didn't know the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. And so have fulfilled the prophecy, the bad part, in condemning him. This is the danger of ignoring scripture. So the Jews and the rulers should not have been ignorant because they had the word of God. It was read for them every year. A lesson for us here. You know, you can be in this place and still be completely ignorant. Even though the power of God is here, even though the presence of God is here, even though the word of God is being ministered by the great help of the Holy Spirit, amen? Like many people have shown, even over the years, you find out some people, you go out and you wonder, this guy is a Christian? Doesn't he go to church? You know, even the utterances they speak, the things that they talk about, their desires of their hearts, you wonder, are they really listening to and hearing the word of God wherever they go? Bible says that all of this depends on what we have at the heart level. We're talking about our hearts today, amen? Reminds of Mark chapter 4, the Bible talks about the sower soweth the word, amen? Now the word is being sown. It's what I call an indiscriminate sowing. The word is just going forth. Like by the grace of God, we're preaching it today. We're talking. We're speaking the word. We're bringing out scripture. We're repeating scripture one to another. The word is going forth. But what kind of heart is that word falling upon? Hello, somebody. Everybody looking at me funny. Did I say something wrong? What manner of heart? Bible reads in four kinds of heart. The wayside heart, where there's no impact on the word, just bounces off it. Boom. It comes and bounces off. Then it talks about the thorny heart, the stony heart, which has no root. So the word comes in, but only for a while, and then after a while it just fades off. Then there's the the heart that is full of thorns. The Bible talks about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering. Does what? Choke the word. The Bible says in Luke, I like that one in Luke, says, and the word becometh. In other words, it was going to be, but because of the cares, the lusts, and the things, other things entering, so it chokes, and it becometh unfruitful. Hello, somebody. Everybody's still silent today. I'm sure that's not cold. Says it, thank you, Brother Bimbo. Says the lust of the entering choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Notice, when they first of all heard the word, it was on the way to being fruitful. But all these others came in and they took away the fruitfulness of that word. Amen. And then there's one quarter of people out of all these four, only one. Amen. Thank you. The cares and anxieties of the world, the distractions of the boy, there are distractions in this age, particularly for you children. Be careful. There's so many distractions. The devil has excelled in making distractions in this day. The pleasure, the delight, thank you, and the false glamour. Hey, there's a glamour which is what is false. Because one day it's going to come to an end. You will not fall for that in Jesus' name. All these false riches, after a while, when you chop, chop, so the thing becomes sawdust in your mouth. And the taste is gone. And you now wonder, what happened? This is what happened. The craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Without all the cares and all these anxieties, the world will bring forth fruit. The seed is indestructible. It will bring forth fruit. As long as you continue to water it, it will bring forth fruit. But if you substitute the watering for the cares and anxieties and the pleasure of delight of false glamour and deceitful riches for the watering of the word regularly, daily, consistently, that word will become unfruitful. That will not be your portion, Jesus. We're preaching this so that it will not happen. Amen? The Bible also says in Luke chapter 8, give me verse 18 of this. I think it's Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Verse 6, Jesus was telling him, says, after he talks about all these hearts, these different hearts, the stony heart, the heart that, you know, was unfruitful, the heart that, the thorny place, the waste heart, and the good ground, he now says, let's say, take heed what you hear. Give me that. It says, take heed therefore, not what, how you hear. So in other words, it's not so much what is being preached of the word, but how you receive that word in your heart. That will decide whether your heart is going to be fruitful, or it's going to be thorny, or wayside, or a place that brings forth a hundredfold. Amen? The truth of the matter is that in Jerusalem, and this happens in any main body of people, but we're changing them by the Spirit in Jesus' name. In those three kinds of hearts, the wayside heart, I know when my own heart was a wayside heart too. He said, you make the transition over time. So if you're in a wayside, just, you know, after a time you come and begin to get the idea. Begin to make a transition from the wayside to perhaps the stony places where the word comes in, it takes you, but, you know, even though it doesn't endure, something happens. Then after some time you begin to find out that you begin to bear a little bit more fruit. Amen? And then you see, if you don't water it properly, the cares of this world and other things begin to creep in and they choke the word. But then you come to realization. You see, all the while God is giving you space to repent. Space to repent at each level. I remember in those days when my heart was a wayside heart. They preached the word to me. Nothing happened. I thought, you know, what nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Why did I have to repent? I'm a good person. I couldn't even come. I didn't know what an unbeliever was. But I thought I was pretty good. Because I didn't steal. I didn't lie too much. You know, only white lies. Just white lies. Just a small one to make things move, you know. Yeah, I didn't lie. And I never, you know, ill-treated people, particularly ladies. If I wasn't going out with you, I'll tell you no more. I won't. You're laughing. I did well. They're my friends who I know, they'll keep them, and, you know, I would say, look, this thing's over. Please go. I was honest. I said I was an honest man. I was an honest unbeliever. I was going to deceive people because I know I have sisters too. So if I deceive, they will deceive my own too. Hello, somebody. So I was a good man. Okay, thank you. One person understand what I'm talking about. None of you were there before, have you? I was a stony-hearted person. Wayside. Nothing happened. Then stony hearted. Then you know that word begin to come in. Woman, you told. But you know when the guy comes, it's your go. Where you going, man? What's up, man? The thing just flies out. No impact. Just go. Pshum. Then after a while, you begin to get as gradually. I remember this happened to me when I was in America. I don't want to say all this because I didn't plan to say this. When I was in America, I was just, I said, is there no more to life than all this thing we're doing here? I didn't know. I'm telling you, this happened to me. I was in America. My pastor about cornered me in a place in Brooklyn, USA, Flatbush and Ditmars. And guess what he did? He put my bedroom door next to a Pentecostal church. And I didn't go to church. I was lying on my bed. I said, I'll hear them preaching the word on Sunday. Hallelujah, Jesus loves you. Blah, blah, blah. I'll close my window. He will still come through. That's what happened to me. And I began to say, there must be more to this life. See, we live, we eat, we get degree, we work, then we die, and that's it. That's all. Gradually, King and Wally, until something happened. I had to come back home, and then we all know the story. I was invited to Scripture Pasture, and I came to see the ladies, and I got born again. That was 1986. It'll be 40 years in 2016. As I was, God gave me space to repent. And He'll do the same for everyone too. Everyone who hears the word will have a time of space to repent. And then gradually God will work on our heart, work on our heart, work on our heart, until you begin to take heed, not just to what you hear, but how and with what heart you hear. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's go back to the action. There are some good people. I just said that just to give my own experience of how God is merciful, He's gracious, He's full of compassion. He is not interested that anyone should perish, but that should all come. And God doesn't give up easy. Give the Lord a clap offering. I thank God for that. You children, God will not give up on you until you fulfill your prophetic destiny. God says He has an end for every one of us. God is not giving up on you. The only way you will miss it is if you give up on God. You will not give up on God in Jesus' name. So there were good people there. There were leaders that were good. Joseph of Arimathea was there. Nicodemus was there. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. Amen. So not all of Jerusalem agreed to the murder of Jesus. But most did. The Bible says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. The Bible says, and the Jews, you know, let me just close this. We'll take this up later on. The Jews had a problem right from the beginning. They had a reputation of being stiff-necked. Hello, Jews. Nobody said amen. Okay, I'm not sure. But you know, even God was amazed at how stiff-necked the Jews were. In the desert, God would do a miracle. They would rejoice. Next day, they're cursing, they're murmuring, they're doing all kinds of things. Jesus said, because of these 10 times, God was counting. Say, give me that. I want to go close to this and stop. The reason why I'm saying is because we are all Jews by the Spirit. But you don't believe me. Bible says, the book of Romans says, you're not a Jew. He's not a Jew outwardly, but one who is inwardly by the circumcision of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So we are all Jews. So you need to be careful because Jews tend to be stiff-necked. You will not be stiff-necked in Jesus' name. Amen? You'll be pliant and malleable in the hands of God in Jesus' name. I want to go to this. Actually, I want to just close there. Look at Exodus 32 verse 9. Quickly, I want to see what this is, what God said about it. Exodus 32 9. Be careful, Jews. We're going to close here today. Exodus 32 verse 9. Yes. who said this? And the Lord said to us, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. The Jews saw God move like no other nation on the earth has ever seen God move. Daily, for 40 years, their feet did not, their shoes did not grow, you know, old. The clothes they were wearing were washed for 40 years, and the fabric was still the same as on day one. They had no need of hunger. Their water was provided. We're talking about 3 million people where there's nothing. Tell the Lord that I choose to believe, regardless of my condition. All my needs are met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Even when there seems to be nothing, I will not cease to believe and trust you. Amen. In the middle of a desert, an ocean of sand, and God was providing daily. Oh, for 3 million people. And all God wanted him to do was just to believe him and to walk in his ways. Just to love him. That's all. And yet they wouldn't do it. Because every time they got hungry, their flesh would take over. And God would say, do this, they won't do it. Say this, they won't say it. Stiff-necked. That would not be your portion. Amen. So Jesus always had a reputation of stubbornness. But you will not be stubborn in Jesus' name. Folks, we've come to a season of great dispensation of grace. And what our hearts are doing, we're going to talk about at least about the help of the Holy Spirit. What is in our hearts is going to determine the amount of the release of grace upon us. Great grace is available. We've seen that already. There's an abundance of grace available. But see, that grace has to find a heart to operate through. And that's why this message is very, very important, by the help of the Holy Spirit. What, take heed, not what you hear, but how you hear. And take heed to your heart, so that when the grace is ministered, your heart will be in a state where you can receive that grace. And through that grace, mighty deeds will be wrought in your lives, in my life, and also as time progresses. Those mighty deeds will not only be wrought in us, but will be wrought through us. But everything depends on the heart. It's the heart that God operates through. Don't be like the Jews. Don't be like the children of Jerusalem who heard the word of God and chose to be ignorant. The word has gone forth today. Don't be ignorant. Don't choose to hear the way you want to hear. Choose to hear as the Spirit is saying. May the Spirit of the Lord continue to speak to every one of us in the name of Jesus. And bring us in this day of great dispensational grace into the mighty works and deeds which he has instantly prepared for you and I since before time began. You're not here by, why am I saying all this? You're not here by accident, folks. You and I are here by the express will of God. Not by accident. There's nothing like coincidence in God. There's nothing like accident in God. God has brought you here to fulfill divine purpose. Take heed how you hear and watch your heart. And Lord, give us understanding in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I speak to the Lord today. We've not gone too far, but trust the Lord that I believe the Lord has spoken a word to every one of us here today. Take heed how you hear and with what heart you hear. Amen. Don't be ignorant by choosing to choose. It's a choice you make. Choosing to discountenance the evidence of Scripture. All these things that we're talking about, speaking every single day. The word that goes forth from this particular pulpit, but even generally, you know, out there. When the word of God comes, how do you receive that word? Do you think it's Pastor Lee Johnson speaking, Mommy Sarah speaking? Or do you receive it as it really is? The undiluted word of God from God through them to you and I. Very important this day. And then when you receive the word, what do you do with it? Just receive it and sit on it? Or do you work it out with fear and with trembling? It's going to make all the difference in this day. Hallelujah. Teach us your ways, O Lord, our God, and we will walk in your truth. Let's speak to the Lord God and respond to this word that has come this morning. I believe the Lord has spoken to each and every one of our hearts today, particularly concerning our hearts at this day of grace. Put a hand upon your heart, one hand upon your heart. Raise the second hand unto God and pray accordingly. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that has come today to me. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding me that you are a God of mercy, a God of compassion. You always give us space to repent, even when we are not worthy of that space, because you have thoughts towards us that are thoughts of peace, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring us to your expected end. And so we ask for mercy, Lord God. You have mercy upon us so we will not be consumed. Thank you for your mercy. We will not take away your loving kindness for us, but help us, O Lord, to be diligent in not taking your mercies for granted in Jesus' name. We ask for mercy to be faithful. You grant us faith, Lord God, so we will not be willfully ignorant by ignoring the evidence of the scriptures that are read unto each of us every day we gather. We thank you, Lord, because, Lord, your word in our lives will not return void. Help us, Lord, to have a heart of meekness, a heart of humility. Lord, help us to have a heart that is good ground. And help us also to hear as we ought, taking heed to ourselves and unto the word. And Lord, your word will find, Lord God, a place in our hearts that is good ground to bear fruit abundant in the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you, Lord, because we will not be stiff-necked. We will not be stubborn, Lord God. And Lord God, by the Spirit, by your mercies, we'll develop the love of God, the character of Christ, and bring forth fruit with patience, with diligence in this season of a manifestation of great grace, of great works, and miracles in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to bring forth the fruit of your love, a hundredfold return, with diligence and patience, as you purify and purge us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated.